Welcome to E2T Adventures. Explore, experience, thrive, be adventure. Where we're celebrating all women in the outdoors as we change the gear industry to fit all women's needs.
I'm Marcy Nelt, and on this episode of E2T Adventures, we are talking about the PPP of the outdoors. And I'm not talking the Paycheck Protection Program. I'm talking the poop, pee, and period of being in the outdoors for women, and how for so many women, this actually keeps them from feeling comfortable in the outdoors, going to the outdoors, and really even trying those first adventures. And so I've invited Anastasia Allison, the founder of one of the coolest inventions for women out in the woods, the Kula Cloth, to come on and to talk to us and explain how we can make this something that isn't what stops us. Anastasia, thank you so much for being on the show today.
So welcome. Thanks for having me.
So I remember the first time I wanted to do a big trip that was like a backpacking, kayaking. It was in Belize. And I remember thinking, oh, but it's on the same dates that my period might come. And actually holding off for almost a full year because I was so afraid of that. And then the other part that was in my head was like, there are men on this trip. How is it all going to work? We're going to be staying on beaches. And I felt that same way about like going into the Grand Canyon. And for many years, it stopped me. And, you know, this weekend, I'm out walking with my guy in the woods and it's winter here in the Northeast. And like, he just walks up to a tree, you know, it's like no big deal. And he just kind of gets to tap and tuck. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go off and I'm going to find like this little, like I'm walking so far to get privacy from the trail. And then like you pee and you're like, okay, I'm going to do a little wiggle dance, or like, is there a leaf nearby, or, you know, like, and so then you just kind of feel kind of gross afterwards. And it's like, it's so much more complicated in some ways, or has been, because it's not addressed on a regular basis. And like this year was my first year like getting away from campgrounds and not having a toilet in the morning. And it's just something that is so nerve-wracking for so many women. And so many women are like, well, I'm not going to do it. And so you were telling me about your first experience out in the outdoors and what it was like for you. And I'd love for you to share that.
I've been hiking for most of my life, but I didn't go on a backpacking trip until I was in my late 20s, and I was invited on this trip to go climb Mount Baker, which I would never, ever recommend, like, climbing a volcano as somebody's first backpacking trip, but I was living in this state of complete and utter blissful ignorance, and I was like, that sounds fun, I'm going to do it. And there was a man planning the trip, and I remember that he called me, and I said, well, what should I bring? And he said, well, just pack what you'd normally pack for a backpacking trip and rent an ice axe and crampons. And I didn't have the heart to tell this guy that I didn't know how to pack for a backpacking trip. And at that time, I didn't have access to social media like we do now, and I really didn't even know what to bring because I had so little experience in the actual backcountry. I think I thought that there was going to be a toilet somewhere out there, which sort of like sounds silly in retrospect, but at the time, like, if you don't know, you don't know. And so I went out on this backpacking trip, and we are literally camping on a rock at the base of a glacier. And I sort of realized, like, oh boy, there is no toilet, there's no bathroom. I thought that there was at least going to be like a privy or something. Yeah. And I did not even bring toilet paper because I thought that there was going to be some there. And so I found myself on this trip feeling so much shame and embarrassment and just feeling so stupid. Like, how could I have been this dumb not to bring toilet paper? That I literally stole toilet paper from my tent mate. And not just like, I'm not just saying that like figuratively, I'm saying it literally. Like, I snuck into her backpack and actually stole like a couple squares of toilet paper and then felt guilty about it because I was like, I don't know what else to do. And I felt so uncomfortable at the time, like asking the guy who was leading the trip, he was this sort of older guy, and I just didn't want to ask him like, how do I pee on this trip? Right. Like I just wasn't comfortable at that time because it wasn't enough of a discussion topic anywhere that I felt comfortable even mentioning it. And so the trip itself ended up being a success. I climbed Mount Baker, believe it or not, and it really was a wonderful, wonderful experience, but also somewhat eye-opening for me. And so I had to sort of figure a lot of stuff out on my own while backpacking. And as I was designing Kula, I remember thinking to myself, like, I hope that nobody else has to go through that experience. I hope that somebody can see a Kula hanging on somebody else's pack and ask them what it is. And then this very organic question is brought up. And because it's like this intentional, beautiful piece of gear, maybe people will be okay talking about it. And the more people talk about it, then the less it becomes that big of a deal, right? It just becomes sort of like second nature where people end up knowing how to handle this. And then more people are getting outside and feeling comfortable outside. And I think that's just a win-win for all of us.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that I was really thinking about, you know, I whitewater kayak and I whitewater kayak with a lot of guys and more women are getting into it. So there are more discussions like, okay, if you're going into the Grand Canyon, like you are wearing a dry suit and you have to pee in the water. So how do you do that? You know, and I remember going to the Kennebec and I'm with a bunch of guys and all of a sudden, you know, there's so many raft companies and there's just so much going on and there's no bathrooms. And the guys just all like line up and they don't even care that the, like the few women that are on the trip are seeing this, like they have no shame about it. And yet with women, it's like, you know, some of my girls, it's like, okay, well you do the car thing where, you know, before you open one door and the other door, and then you kind of sit on the runner and then you pee. And then some guy comes walking by and you're like, oh, let me like rip up my pants. Like, you know, and we have spray skirts, so at least we have something that kind of like folds over us while you're trying to have this privacy. And, but the guys just have zero shame about it. Like, they'll be just like, hey, does anyone got toilet paper? I got to go poop in the woods, you know, where the women are like, yeah, this isn't happening. It's like, we're trying to hide or something. And like, I was thinking about the poopery spray. And like it was created so that it wouldn't smell like a woman ever pooped. And you're like, okay, I want you to take this beautiful piece of gear that is waterproof and created by artists on the outside and is antimicrobial on the back so that you can wipe yourself and feel comfortable and dry in the woods, which is fantastic. And then you can just hang it from your pack. And you want women to talk about it. And that takes away the shame. It's like, yeah, I'm a proud peer in the woods kind of thing.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because I don't think that shame of our bodily functions is something that we're naturally born with. I think that that's something that's sadly learned. Like, a baby is not ashamed of pooping. Right. Peeing in front of or on anybody for that matter.
Yeah.
But along the way, based on, you know, just things, beliefs that have been passed down through different generations and cultures and, you know, all this stuff, right? Like, we somehow along the way have picked up this idea that our bodies in some way, like, it's shameful in some way, when in reality, it's like miraculous what is happening. I mean, when you actually think about like what is happening when you pee or you poop, like the trillions and trillions of cells that are like working together to process food and water so that like your infinitely complex body can do the things that it does. Like, that is a complete and utter miracle, and we've lost touch with that. And what's interesting, I think, is that a lot of other cultures did not lose touch with that, and that's something that we have unfortunately picked up along the way. And I hope that spending time in nature, like, is a place where people can, I think it's good for people to, like, reconnect with their bodily functions in a way that is healthy and natural, and not like, oh, I have to hide this from, like, everybody, the fact that I poop. Like, people know that you do. And, like, you know, it's funny, but, like, even a few years ago, I think I would have been, like, because there's always this moment on a backpacking trip where you have to leave camp holding your little lag bag with toilet paper in it, and, like, everybody knows where you're going. Like, you're going to go poop under a rock, and, you know, you're going to go bury your poop. And I think there was a point in my life where I was even, like, it was like I'd have to put the bag of toilet paper in my pocket and just go for a walk, as if nobody knew what I was doing. And now it's like, guess what? Like, here I go. I'm going to go off and, like, poop, and it's not this big deal. And I can talk about it with people, and through my openness about it, I can allow others, give others permission to, like, allow it to be a normal thing. And yeah, maybe, like, poop is gross on some level, but maybe we can also look at it as, like, wow, my body is, like, functioning healthily, and that is really, really amazing. And maybe we could look at it like that instead of sort of the other way.
Yeah, my niece became a dirt bagger this summer and worked as a zipline lead. And she's also a whitewater kayaker and a backpacker and off to do the AT. And so, you know, she always had the thing of, like, okay, you know, you're backpacking, and, like, on the Appalachian Trail, they do have the outhouses all along the way. And so you wait for those and, you know, that kind of thing. And so where she was in a situation where she was just living out of her car, she said she got so much more in tuned with her body, and she always had, like, stomach troubles, and she's just like, I'm sorry, but toilets are wrong. She's like, when you're in the woods, you're so relaxed because it's so pretty, and you're out there, and she's like, toilets, you get, like, half of it out. She's like, but when you squat in the woods, it over a hole that you dug, it's like the whole thing comes out and you have a much better day. And I thought that was, like, the cutest thing, that she's like, no, like, I don't have
It's so true, because your body is actually, like, going into its natural position that, like we instinctively do that. I mean, this is, of course, where the squatty potty came from, but, like, that's what, nobody instinctively poops standing up. Like, that's not, like, you, that just doesn't happen. That doesn't feel normal. Like, it's our natural. And you look at any animal, right? They all go into some sort of a squatting position. Nobody taught them that necessarily. But, like, I watch my cat, and my cat instantly does what it knows how to do. And its body, like, takes a certain shape that's, like, perfect for its body to take. And it's so interesting, but, like, we've become so out of touch with a lot of that. And that's why I think it is important to, like, get out into nature, is because we can get more in touch with our intuition and allow things to happen in a more natural way than just being like, oh, this is how it is. I'm not recommending to anybody just, like, go squat on your floor.
Yeah, no.
there are certain countries. I mean, I went to Italy years ago, and there was a toilet in Italy, and actually in Bhutan, I used a toilet there that was literally just flat on the ground, so that you just squatted down on the floor and went to the bathroom. It was not, like, the shape of what we know in our minds to be a standard toilet. It was much more in line with, like, the natural way that our bodies react to that, to having to do that.
When I traveled through China, it was such a toilet culture shock. Because you would go into these temples, and then if you went to the bathroom, it was just, like, all these women lined up over, like, this long rectangular hole and just going. And then, like, their children don't wear diapers. All their pants have, like, a cutout. and the little kids will just squat in like the streets and things like that. And they're just like, well, this doesn't cause, like the shame of it is the way they were saying. And this is more natural. And, but the Olympics were going. And so they had billboards everywhere of Americanized or the more traditional toilet and how to use it, like on the billboards, because they were trying to install those for all the tourists that were going to come. And like people, we were so excited every time we saw a real toilet. It was just like, yay, you know? And, but yeah, it's the other thing about being out in the woods too, is like your stress comes down so much when you're not stressing about this and like feeling uncomfortable about it. You're in nature, you're just feeling more relaxed, more comfortable about life, I think, and your systems just work better. And so, but we're still not giving the women who are like, okay, so I want to do this. I want to go out to the woods. I want to go on an overnight. How do I handle this? You know, so take me through like, or take our listeners through one, how the Kula cloth works and how great it is, because, and why you actually decided to do this.
Yeah, so I came up with the idea for Kula back in 2016. I was on a backpacking trip with my husband, and I had been using an old scrap of fabric as a pea cloth, and it was just this ugly blue scrap of fabric, and I was actually taking a photograph of it as a joke to send to a friend. I had this idea, like I was going to make her this dramatic card with this pea cloth at sunset photograph on it. And as I was taking this photo, I just suddenly like had this little voice pop into my head that just said, why isn't that a real piece of gear? And I kind of looked at this sad scrap of fabric that I was using, and I thought, you know, that's not that appealing to like most people. Like most people don't want to grab some old piece of fabric that looks like it could have been pulled out of a rag bin from Jiffy Lube and use that to wipe with. And I thought, if I could design something that was intentional, more hygienic, like looked cool, maybe people would be excited, like more likely to get on board with this idea. It'll open a conversation more. It could be an introduction to Leave No Trace principles. And so that was sort of the beginning of Kula for me, was in 2016. I sort of killed the idea because I got afraid of it and convinced myself it was stupid. And then fast forward to 2017, I had sort of re-talked myself into the idea and started testing out different fabrics and sewing prototypes, even though I didn't know how to sew. So it was a real sort of hero's journey of like trying to figure out how to make it. It looks pretty simple. It's a square with a strap on it, but you'd be surprised at how many decisions go into like making a square. It was a colossal amount of work and brain power just to even come up with all the different like decisions that made up what is now the final product. So this is a Kula, and I have this beautiful sort of like a night scene one. The print side of the Kula is waterproof, so that you don't get your hands wet. And it also helps you know which side you used. That was the problem with just using an old rag, is like you never know where you used, and you're like laying your backpack down in the dirt, like who knows what it's been touching. So this is very clearly the waterproof side, so that you don't get your hands wet when you are using the absorbent side to pat dry. This side is made of a special antimicrobial fabric that's super absorbent. So essentially you would just pee in the woods. If you are out in the backcountry, the sort of Leave No Trace standard is that you don't want to pee within 200 feet of a natural water source. The exception to that is that if you are in a river environment, there are some rivers where they actually want you to pee in the river. So it'll vary, but if you're just like on a trip in the mountains, we don't want to be peeing like near a small creek or near an alpine lake. We want to be at least 200 feet away. If you have the option to pee on rocks. That's preferred because when you pee on the vegetation, the salt in your urine is going to be covering any plants in that area. And very often that's going to attract animals to eat plants that they otherwise might not have eaten because of your urine being on the plants.
Wow, I did not know that.
Essentially, you just pee. Yep, so pee like normal. Use the black side to pat dry. When you're done using the Kula, you simply snap it back to your pack. And then there's a double snap option here so that it now is sort of in a fold. And this helps keep the Kula clean. It also prevents that used side from now touching your pack or all your gear. But it still allows air to flow through it so that it will dry off. I reuse mine all day over and over again throughout the day. And then when I get home in the evening, if I'm on a day hike, I'll just rinse it out in the sink with a little bit of soap. If I am on a backpacking trip 200 feet away from a water source, I'll use my water bottle with a little tiny bit of soap and just wash it off and hang it to dry. I usually will hang it in a tree overnight just to dry off or air out. And this, there's a little strip of gray thread here, and you can't see it really well, but it's actually on both sides. And that's a really high-tech retro-reflective thread. And what that allows you to do is that if you wake up at 2 a.m. and you have to pee and you've hung your Kula up in a tree and you forget where you left it, now you leave your tent with your headlamp and you can find the Kula easily. So it's a pretty simple piece of gear, but it's been fun to sort of figure out all the kind of ins and outs of Kula. And I think what really excites me about it is hearing stories from people who, I mean, I had a letter once from a woman who told me that she would intentionally dehydrate herself while hiking. Like, she didn't drink water while she was hiking because she didn't want to have to pee on the trail. I also heard from another woman who said she'd never been on a backpacking trip in her life because she was so concerned about hygiene and like didn't know how to handle it. And so the Kula, you know, they could have just used a bandana, and I understand that. I would never tell somebody like, don't use a bandana, you have to use a Kula cloth. You can use whatever you want. If you want to use an old t-shirt, use an old t-shirt. But like Kula, because it's cute looking and intentionally designed, it does get over that squeamish factor for people of just like using an old rag. And for me, that's what's exciting is like, because if people can get over that like mental barrier to the idea of a pee cloth, then they're going to go out feeling more comfortable, more confident, and they'll be able to stay out maybe for longer, try things they've never tried before, and have more of the experience that they were looking for ultimately. So that's sort of the peeing in the outdoors. Once you get the hang of it, it's just like so easy. You don't even think about it anymore. You just like, you squat and you pee, and the Kula will drastically, it's one of those pieces of gear where like, if once you have one, or any pee cloth, not just a Kula, but like once you have one, you will never hike without it because you just don't want to feel like a swamp. And, you know, like it's just, that's not pleasant. And we deserve to have a comfortable, enjoyable experience outside. And I truly believe that like our bodily functions do not have to be a limiting factor.
So you spent a lot of time in the woods, and like I said, when you sent me one of these and I saw it for the first time, I'm like, why isn't this everywhere? Like, and you know, one of the things that E2T Adventures is really trying to change is making women more comfortable in the outdoors by getting them the gear that they actually need. And you've taken a huge step in one of the things that deters women from going out there. And like you said, once you use it, you're like, oh, this is so much better. Like, you know, just going for a walk in the woods after you like had coffee in the morning. And now you're like, oh, I need to pee so bad. But like you said, you're going to keep hiking and like you want to leave no trace. And so this just solves it. And like you said, it's so pretty. And like, there is something to being feminine in the woods and being like, hey, I like pretty things. I'm a girl and this is awesome. And then being like, the fact that you thought of everything, of like waking up in the middle of the night and trying to find something and, you know, getting out of your tent. And so I love everything about this.
Thank you. I love
But so talk a little bit, since we're trying to get more women to like, okay, get over this thing, this limitation, which isn't a limitation, and being more comfortable. So I remember saying to women, like, when I went on that trip to Belize finally, and we were out in the woods, they were just like, oh, so you dig a hole, and they had like, you know, two sticks with another stick across, and you could kind of swing your butt off of it, and then you just put the dirt over, and then you put the tissue in a bag, and then they, you know, it went in the fire. And so it became something that was very comfortable. And so a few women that have gone on like overnight trips, it's like, this is what you can do, so you're not leaving that trace of like the toilet paper, you know, that you see, unfortunately, all over the woods these days, especially more in COVID, where more people are getting outside. So in your experience, like, if you could just cover quickly, like, dealing with your period and dealing with pooping in the woods and how you've handled that on all these trips.
So I'll start with pooping and then go to periods. So, and none of these things are difficult once you get the hang of them. And so I just want to make that clear. Like, it's going to be super easy. And once you get the hang of it, you won't even think about it. Depending on where you're going in the backcountry, there are some campsites that do have like a privy, right? They might just have a box with a toilet seat on it. So that sort of makes it easy, right? Like, you know where to go. There's a backcountry toilet that you can use. That simplifies the process. When I go out on a backpacking trip, I bring a toilet paper bag. It's usually a quart size Ziploc bag. I reuse the same Ziploc bag over and over and over again for this. And I essentially just fill it with toilet paper. I don't carry the roll with me. I'll just take as much toilet paper as I think I need for that trip, given the amount of days. I will usually put in a separate, smaller bag that has a few wet wipes in it, usually one each day. And then I have an empty quart Ziploc bag, which is my trash bag. So let's just say I wake up in the morning and I have to poop. So again, I'm using that 200 foot rule. So I'm not going to be going 200 feet from a water source. So I'm going to hike out from where I'm camping, find a location that looks like it hasn't been overly used before. If it's a very obvious location, then you're literally going to start lifting up rocks and there will be like other people's poop everywhere. So we're trying to find a location that doesn't necessarily look really obvious. Once you get there, you can pre-dig your hole if you have the ability to at that moment. A lot of people will carry along a really small, like, titanium trowel for digging. You could use a rock to dig. You can use a tent stake to dig, whatever you want to do. But for Leave No Trace, the sort of goal is to dig down about 6 to 8 inches. And that's actually a decent ways down. So don't let, like, it's not necessarily an easy dig, and especially if you're in a rocky location, it can even be more challenging. The other hint that I will give is that you can poop on the ground first and dig second. So if you get to your location and you're like, oh boy, I really have to go and I like cannot hold it anymore, it's okay to just poop on the ground, then dig a hole, and then use a stick to push it into the hole. So you want to dig the hole 6 to 8 inches down, wipe with the toilet paper. I usually will use the wet wipe next. And the toilet paper and the wet wipe I put into my trash bag, and I am carrying those with me and taking them out of the backcountry. I'm not putting them in the hole. Most people think that toilet paper just vanishes. It does not just vanish, especially if you are in alpine environments, if you are in a desert environment. It could literally be there for years and years, and in some places, probably longer than that if it gets frozen. So I will put my trash in the Ziploc bag, pack it up, and then just sort of walk back to camp. There are certain locations that require something called a blue bag. And a blue bag is a special type of a device, or I guess a bag, that you are going to use to actually carry your poop out of the backcountry. Now, you will know that you are going into a blue bag area before you actually hit the trail. So this is typically something like you're getting a permit at the ranger station and they tell you blue bags are required in this area. Here are the blue bags. And in those areas, these are very fragile areas. They're oftentimes on glaciers where your poop is not just ever going to vanish. It'll be there for infinity and beyond. And what you do with a blue bag is you essentially are going to poop on the ground. You pick it up with a blue piece of plastic that's provided with a bag, and then you put it into another bag. If I know that I'm going into a blue bag area, I will typically bring like an extra bag. I also line my pack with a trash bag, and like the poop that I'm packing out is literally going at the bottom of my backpack in a double bag underneath the bag that's holding all the stuff in my pack. So just make sure that you aren't like, let's just stuff this in with like my sleeping bag and clothes. No, we're keeping the poop bag very separate. The only other consideration for pooping would be if you are in snow. That is another environment where if you dig a hole in snow 6 to 8 inches down, nice try, but that does not count as burying it. So, because snow is just going to melt, and now your poop is just going to be, like, laying there. So, anytime you're snow camping, that's another opportunity for you to carry that out of the backcountry. And otherwise, I found that it is not usually a big deal. If you are going on an extended trip, there is a product called a Culo Clean. The word Culo, I think, means... But I don't know if I'm allowed to curse on your podcast.
That's
I'll
okay.
Keep it with the G translation. But Culo Clean, it is essentially a travel bidet, a backcountry travel bidet, and you can attach it to the top of one of those flexible platypus water bottles. And if I'm going on an extended backpacking trip, particularly in warmer weather where I'm going to be okay getting squirted with some cold water, I will very often bring something like this along. If you need to pay a lot of attention to just keeping your body clean, because anything like debris that's left in areas of your body has a tendency, it can get irritated or infected or cause chafing and just general discomfort in general. So I always recommend if you're gone for maybe more than a couple days, bringing something like a Culo Clean with you, or just finding ways to like rinse off and sort of clean all the nooks and crannies out so that you aren't sort of increasing your chance of infection.
That's awesome.
And I guess finally, and if you have any questions about the pooping, feel free to jump in. Otherwise, I'll talk.
No, you're covering it. I'm like, we could actually talk about this all day.
Yeah, I've pooped in the woods a lot. You know, the other thing I'll just very, very quickly mention is that if you have some sort of like poop catastrophe in the wilderness, like you're totally normal. I have literally gotten poop on my sleeve of my jacket before, and you know, just thought all these horrible things about myself and how disgusting I was and how much, you know, like how could this happen? I'm like an adult, how did I get poop on myself? And so these sort of like poop-tastrophes like will happen in the backcountry. Like you'll try to flick it with a stick and it'll like hit your shoe or something like that. So if you have an experience like that, just know that it's totally normal. There's nothing to be ashamed of about it. And if you tell the people that you're backpacking with, particularly if they are more experienced backpackers, they will have similar stories as well. And so don't feel like you can't tell people about it, and don't feel ashamed of it. So I guess the final thing is having your period. Years ago, I used tampons, and I switched to using a menstrual cup maybe about a decade ago. And for me, that is the absolute number one game changer for having your period in the backcountry is using a menstrual cup. They take a little bit of practice to get used to, so definitely do not have like, oh, it's the first time I'm ever going to try to use a menstrual cup and I'm going to go on a backpacking trip, because you will regret it. So definitely learn how to use it at home, get used to the sort of variances in your own body and how to insert it properly, how to remove it properly and change it. But if you are packing in tampons or pads, for instance, first off, you're carrying in a lot of stuff depending on how long you're out for. Secondly, those get heavier, not lighter, once you use them, because they're filled with fluid essentially. Thirdly, because they are filled with blood, you have to store them with your food because you need to take proper
with
them from wildlife. So imagine that you've got your food bag and you're putting it up in a bear hang or a bear can. If you're having your period and you have all these used tampons, tampons absolutely do not disintegrate. So you cannot just leave tampons in the backcountry. These are things that you are putting into a trash bag and packing out with you, which means that at night when you go to bed and you put all of your food into a bag that you're going to hang to keep safe from wildlife, your used tampons are going into that bag as well. Preferably in their own trash bag, obviously, but it's just something to think about, that there is a lot of extra steps that you have to take when you're using disposable menstrual products in the backcountry. And that's the nice thing about something like a Diva cup or a Pixie cup, is that it's not a disposable product, it's a reusable product. It's simply a silicone cup that easily is inserted in the vagina, and essentially it opens and catches blood. They are relatively easy to use. You change them in the morning and the evening. And if you are somebody who's using a menstrual cup or curious about using a menstrual cup, you're going to handle your menstrual blood the exact same way that you do poop. So again, digging down 6 to 8 inches. What I will do is in the morning, I know that I've got to like empty out the Diva cup. So I will take my water bottle and a tiny little dropper bottle of Bronner's peppermint soap. And away I go to my location 200 feet from a water source. I dig a hole. I empty the cup into the hole. Then I take my water bottle, rinse out the cup, sort of shake it around. I'll use some soap on the cup. Again, putting all this wastewater into that hole as well. Then I'm going to like rinse off my hands, reinsert the cup, cover up the hole, and then I'll probably wash my hands with the soap, and that's it. Now I don't think about the fact that I'm having my period until the end of the day when I have to do that process again. Yeah. So the only other concern that I've heard expressed about having your period in the backcountry is like whether or not it will attract wild animals. You yourself as a human will not attract animals if you are, just because you're having your period. Now, will animals dig down into, like, would they try to go after a used tampon if it was just laying out? Probably, because that would smell like inviting to an animal. I actually did dig down when I emptied my Diva cup once, and I went back to the same location the next day, and I could tell that an animal had like tried to dig there. So I think it was like a fox or, you know, something little, maybe a raccoon. But there was a rumor that had gone around, unfortunately, a long time ago. There was two women who died on the same night at Glacier National Park, not due to having their period, but due to the fact that the National Park Service and one of the hotel concessions at the Park Service was feeding bears. And these backpackers, unbeknownst to them, had camped in the bear's path on the way for the bear to get to the location where this hotel was feeding them as entertainment. This is long before the National Park Service did any, like, actual wildlife management. So this is, like, not recently. As it turned out, a few of those, both of the women happened to be having their periods, from what I recall, and it started this rumor, and there was these really sort of scare tactic signs. My mom still remembers one of them to this day at Glacier National Park that was like, if you're having your period, don't go out because you're going to attract a grizzly bear.
Oh, I remember that being a teenager. And, you know, we were told in the Girl Scouts, even younger, that, like, about this woman that they both, her and her boyfriend died because she had her period, and being, like, afraid to be in the woods because of that. And
yes, and and it's a tragic that she died, but it had nothing to do with her period and everything to do with the fact that the hotel was feeding the bears.
Yeah.
And so the bears were just not acting normally. They came across people camping in the path in between them and the free food, and it just didn't go well.
Exactly. I can't believe we're already out of time. It, like, flew by. I highly suggest that anyone going into the outdoors, even if you're just going for walks on the weekends, the Kula cloth is amazing. You can find them on E2T Adventures in our new gear store. And thank you so much for all this information. I learned so much, and I thought I knew a lot. And I realized, like, you gave me so much more information that is going to be so helpful to me. And I know it's so helpful to so many women who are really afraid of these, like we said, normal bodily functions that they shouldn't be ashamed of, that they should be proud that, like you said, what a wonderful way of putting it, that this is our bodies taking our nutrients, getting rid of the waste from our bodies so that we can go out and adventure and have an amazing experience out in the woods. Thank you so much. I hope to have you on again because I know you have so much great information. And yeah. Anything else you want to end with?
No. Thanks for having me, Marcy. And I just am excited to hear stories of more people going outside and more deeply connecting with themselves and nature and just being open to the possibilities of life. I think it's a big world out there, and the only limits that exist are the ones we put on ourselves very often.
Absolutely. And I wanted to end, hopefully I can bring it up. I love what you say with the Kula cloth at the end of, like, your catalog of wherever you are in your life right now, take a few deep breaths and notice your beating heart and your breathing lungs. Isn't it incredible that you're alive on this amazing planet? We think so too. We are so grateful for you, and we truly believe that the wild places we seek are simply a reflection of the good that lives in all of us. And what a wonderful, wonderful message to put out in the world. Thank you so much for what you've created. It's definitely changed my outdoor experience. I hope it changes millions of women's outdoor experience. Have a great day.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of E2T Adventures. Please go to our website, www.e2tadventures.com, and join the movement to make the outdoors more comfortable, safe, and enjoyable for all who identify as female. And remember, you have one life, one body, one playground earth. Go have an adventure.